Thank our brethren once again. We pray that God will bless those words to our hearts. Heavenly Father, we come to Thee tonight. We thank Thee that we have a great High Priest. We thank Thee that there's one who's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. We thank Thee that there's one who has entered within the veil. We thank Thee that the blood is shed. We thank Thee our God is presented upon the throne. And we bless Thee, our God, that Jesus is our righteousness. Lord, we pray that You'll bless Thy Word now as we would come to minister it. And Lord, we pray that by Thy Spirit that You'll speak to each and every one of our hearts. And to this end, I trust You now for power. For Thy power it cannot fail. The words that Thou this night shalt give me shall and must prevail. I pray in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. I want you to open your Bibles in the book of Job this evening, and I want you to keep your Bibles before you as we search the book of Job to answer some of the great questions. One great question especially that I believe that needs to be answered before our service draws to a close. First of all, we turn in Job chapter 9 and we commence to read at verse number 1, and we'll read simply verses 1 and 2 of Job chapter 9. Job chapter 9, verse 1, then Job answered and said, I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? Then turn your Bibles to Job 25, and we'll read a few verses from verse number 4, of the 25th chapter of the book of Job. In verse number 4 it says, how then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not. Yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man that is a worm, and the Son of Man, which is a worm. The question that has been asked in both those passages of God's Word is very powerful. It says, how should man be just with God? How then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? I suppose if I were to ask you what would be the question that would come out of the book of Job, one question that perhaps would sit out there that you would believe Job's little book would pose, would be a question, why is it that so many of God's people suffer? I suppose you think of the patience of Job and the suffering of Job, and as you see the suffering of the saints, and you read the book of Job, I'm sure the question would come, why do godly people have to suffer? And suffer so grievously in certain ways. But there's another question that I believe comes out of this book that is very, very important. And it's a question that I want to answer this evening. And it is this, how can man be just with God? How can man be just with God? Or as the book says, how then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? I think there are two facts that we need to just simply establish and set out there for us to clearly understand what we're talking about this evening. First of all, it's man, and secondly, it's God. How can man be justified with God? And the first fact is this, man is so sinful. And the second fact, God is so holy. Now here's the question again. How can sinful man be justified with a holy God? And that's a tremendous and a powerful question that merits an answer this evening, because we need to know the answer to that question. Just turn back in the book of Job to chapter 15 for a moment. And there we see a statement there that I believe is important for us to understand from verses, we'll read verses 14 to 16.
of chapter 15 of the book of Job. And here's the question again. What is man that he should be clean? Or he which is born of a woman that he should be righteous? Behold, he putteth no trust in his saints. Yea, the heavens are not clean in God's sight. And then notice verse 16. How much more abominable and filthy is man, which drinketh iniquity like water. I don't know whether you've noticed that verse before. It says, listen, the very heavens are not clean in God's sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man, which drinketh iniquity like water. And my friend, when you realize just how abominable and how filthy man is, then you can understand the question, how can that filthy man be justified with God? It's a powerful question. It is a straightforward and very important question that needs to be answered. I think if you look at society today, you realize the truth of those words, that man drinketh iniquity like water. You know, if the box offices want to have a real film that's going to sell and make millions, put filth into it and you'll make the millions. If you want to put something simple or something clean in it, I'll tell you this, you'll find that the box office, it'll soon fall, the numbers will soon fall away. Because in man, there is something that is distinctly evil and something that is distinctly immoral, for the Word of God says in verse 16, how much more abominable and filthy is man, which drinketh iniquity like water. My, then just drink it in. That's why a person can sit at a television and watch it from morning to night, the filth in society. They just drink it in. They drink it in. That's what the Word of God says. They drink it like water. Or like a cat with milk. And friend, this is our hearts, man's heart that has been talked about here. It shows us the filthiness and the darkness of man's sinfulness and man's evilness. And he is abominable and he is filthy in God's sight. Maybe that's not the picture you see of yourself. Maybe that's not the picture you've ever seen of yourself, my friend. Let me tell you, man is a sinner. He is sinful by birth. Behold, in sin did my mother conceive me. He is sinful by nature, because we are by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We are sinful by choice, and we are sinful by practice. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if you want any further details of that, friend, just read tomorrow's paper. And you'll get all you need, my friend, all the documentation you need of the sinfulness of the heart of man. Now, over against the sinfulness of man, we have the holiness of God. You know, if I were to choose one word, if I were to ask you to choose one word that describes the character of God, I believe one word above all other, maybe you would say to me, well, of course, God's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Maybe you'll say, yes, it's God's omniscience, because God is all-knowing. Or maybe you'll say, it's God's omnipresence, because there's nowhere where you can hide yourself where God isn't, because he's present everywhere. The heavens and the earth cannot even contain him. And so some perhaps may say, yes, those are the things that I think about the character of God. Maybe somebody else says God is love. And so he is. His love is perfect. His love is infinite. His love is unending. His love is unchanging. His love is everlasting. It's all true. God is love. But I believe, my friend, that if I were to ask you the question, if you know the book, and you were to be asked the question, tell me, my friend, what is the characteristic that speaks of God above everything else? It is God is holy. It's the holiness of God. You read in the 6th chapter of the book of Isaiah, and what did the seraphims cry? They cried, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. The holiness of God. Or the psalmist in Psalm 99 verse 9 says, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. He's holy. Now my friend, because he's holy, it's the opposite to sin. He set over against sin. So much that Habakkuk in chapter 1 verse 13 says concerning him, "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity." Yes, on the one side we have the sinfulness of man. On the other side we have the holiness of God. You know, the picture that man paints of his heart is always a very decorated picture. When the Bible doesn't decorate you up at all, friend, from the crown of your head to the sole of your foot, there's naught but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been bound up, neither mollified with ointment. In other words, man is absolutely and totally depraved. And man left to himself will never seek God. Man left to himself is abominable. The Holy Ghost says he's filthy. He drinks in sin. He drinks in dirt like water. What an awful picture of my heart in my sinfulness, in the picture of your heart and your sinfulness. Romans chapter 3 says, listen, there's no difference. It says all have sinned. And just in case you think that the Holy Ghost is talking about somebody else, friend, I want to tell you, he just painted the heart where God started with you and me. Because when God saw us, he saw us in our sin. And there's nothing that you and I can do to take away our sinfulness. And here's a great dilemma. How can a man that is sinful be justified with God? On the one hand, you have the sinfulness of man. On the other hand, you have the holiness of God. Now, how can you bring them together? I hear somebody say to me, well, if I can't climb up to reach or ascend to God's holiness, maybe God can descend and come down to my level or the level of man, my sinfulness. No, my friend, God can't. For God's holy. He can't. God will not fellowship with uncleanness. And there is a problem because there's a gulf that is so great. And the question is this. Who can bridge the chasm? Who can bridge the gulf between sinful man and a holy, righteous God? Do you think you can? Do you think, my friend, that somehow that you'll make it out in the end of the day? If you ever imagine that for one second, friend, then you know nothing about the sinfulness of your heart. You know nothing about the abominable filthiness of your heart. You have no understanding of the sin that God sees in the very depths of your soul. If you think that somehow that you can justify yourself before God, you'll never do it. And one moment at the judgment throne of God, friend, will prove the fact that God sees your sin, just as he saw the woman that was taken of adultery. Jesus knew all about her before she ever came. He knew all about her. He knows all about you. There's nothing, my friend, that you can hide from God. You may hide it from man. You may fool yourself. But you can't hide it from God. What a chasm. What a problem. Now, the devil knows that problem. And the devil knows that there is a question that's prevalent in the heart of man. How can a sinful man be justified in the presence and in the sight of a holy God? And so the devil, in knowing the question, decides to give you an answer. But the devil, my friend, if you study the Word of God, you'll find that the devil gives to the right question, he gives the wrong answer. And men and women are drinking at that pool tonight, the wrong answer to the right question. Yes, the question's right. How then can man be justified with God? It's the right question. How can I be justified with God? How can I stand in the presence of a righteous and holy God and expect God to receive me and receive me into heaven itself? That is all purity and all holiness. The right question, but the devil gives the wrong answers. You see, let me make this clear tonight. The devil's not against religion. Because in actual fact, when you look at the first temptation, it was a religious temptation. Because whenever that temptation came in Genesis chapter 3, it was a religious temptation. Do this and you'll become God. You'll become as God. It wasn't an irreligious statement. It was a religious temptation. It wasn't a temptation to fall down. It was a temptation to climb up. And boy, the old devil, you know, so crafty. When men and women are concerned about their soul and about their standing before God and about their eternity and about heaven and hell, the devil will give you the wrong answer to the right question. Now let me show you tonight the answers that the devil gave to this question. And you know what the devil did? He used Job's three friends. And I want you to notice just exactly how that the devil answered that question. How can man that is sinful be just with God? The right question, and how the devil gave the wrong answers. And maybe there's someone here tonight and you're listening to the devil's answers. Because let me tell you, there's multitudes tonight drinking at that pool and listening to the devil's lie. Let's go first of all to Job chapter 4. In the fourth chapter of the book of Job, you'll notice that one of Job's friends was called Eliphaz. He was a Temanite. And here the question is posed. He was supposed to be one of Job's comforters. You read the story here in this fourth chapter and you'll find that Eliphaz was in his bedroom one night. And as he lay in his bed in the middle of the night, he was sleeping deeply and suddenly he was awakened out of his sleep. And as he was awakened out of his sleep, as you read this story, you'll find that he was aware of a presence in the room. He was aware of a presence in the room. In actual fact, he was so aware of a presence in that room that the Bible tells us the very hair of his flesh stood up. You say, where do you get that, preacher? Listen, go to verse 13 of chapter 4. In thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falleth on men, fear came upon me and trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face, and the hairs of my flesh stood up. I stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes. There was silence, and I heard a voice saying, shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? It wasn't a dream. He was wakened out of his sleep. He was aware in that very room that night of a presence. And it says, a spirit passed before my face. You say to me, what does the answer then? The devil's answer to Job's question, friend, it was a hellish revelation. It was from hell. It was a devilish revelation. Do you know what the spirit it says? Then a spirit passed before my face, and the hair of my flesh stood up. It was a demon. An evil spirit. And an evil spirit came. And let me tell you, my friend, the Bible warns us, that we are to try the spirits and see whether they be of God. You know, my friend, you test what a man's saying, and if it's not in accordance to the Word of God, I don't care what way his color is, I don't care who he is, I don't care how powerful his oratory is, if it's not of the book, if it's not of God. It's not of the Bible, it's not of God. And here we find that in the midst of this hour of Job's testing, in the minute where the questions were in Job's mind, the old devil comes in and he brings his insinuations, and it was a hellish revelation. Now the Holy Ghost tells me also concerning the last days, not only are we to try the spirits, but in 1 Timothy, in the 4th chapter in verse 1, it says, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and to doctrines of devils or doctrines of demons. There's only one devil. There's only one devil. There's demons of the devil. And you notice what it says, in the last days the Spirit speaketh expressly. Listen, there's a clear warning here that there will those that will depart from the faith and they will give heed to seducing spirits. This is not the Spirit of God. This is not the Spirit of liberty and of power and of the Holy Ghost. My friend, this is seducing spirits. Seducing men and women and taking them away into falsehood and into sinfulness. And seducing them, it's called doctrines of demons. And there are many standing in the pulpit today, and the sad thing is this, that's exactly what they're putting out. They're putting out the devilish, the hellish revelation, which is not of God. You know, there are those that tell us today in society, and tell especially to our young people, that the root of the occult, or the root of spiritism, or the root of seances, or contact with the dead, or astrology, or the drug culture, that's the way to find peace in your mind. That's the road to go. The New Testament uses a word concerning these people, sorcerers. And the word sorcerer means enchanted with drugs. The Bible warns against sorcery. And the devil's working overtime to destroy men's minds with drugs and leave themselves open to satanic infestation and satanic and demonic invasion. The old devil tells our young people, you know, if you want to float away and get your cares to float away, and if you want to get on a high and mind be lifted up heavenward, what do? You go on a trip. They're trips to hell. But he doesn't tell it that way. He doesn't tell it that way. He puts gloss upon it. And so we find the devil's happy to use Eliphaz to spread his message. And boy, the devil will use today even the pulpits in our land that have apostatized and turned away from the book, friend, and they're preaching doctrines of devils. And they've turned away from the old book. I hear somebody say to me, preacher, but I tell you, I wouldn't touch the occult. I wouldn't touch the Ouija board. Let me tell you this. Some in our schools are touching it. Before it closed down, before the summer break, it was in some of our schools, yes, and in one of our local schools. And young people were playing around with the Ouija board. Let me tell you, my friend, I warn every young person, let me tell you, I don't care who he is, I don't care how nice he phrases it, I want to tell you, the Ouija board is of the devil, it's satanic, it's of hell. And I'll tell you, hell burns, and the person that plays around it will find it burns. Young person, in God's name, have the guts to stand up. You've been brought up, especially young people of this congregation, you've been brought up on the book. Have the guts to stand up and speak out. God, give us backbone instead of wishbone to speak out against the awfulness and hellish revelation which the devil will take our children to hell if we don't stand up in God's name and speak out in Jesus' name. So it is, we find here, the occult. They say, listen, yes, seances, all of these things. Ah, listen, it's only a joke. I want to tell you, nothing that you play with a devil, friend, is a joke. You play with fire, you get burned. And so we find, some maybe say to me, preacher, I wouldn't touch it. I know it takes to hell, I wouldn't touch it. Friend, let me tell you, and the devil knows you wouldn't. So it's another message for you. And that brings me to the second friend of Job. His name was Bildad. Let's go to chapter 8. In chapter 8, if you look there in verse number 8 of this chapter, it says this, "For inquire, I pray thee, of the former age, and prepare thyself to the search of their fathers. For we are but of yesterday, and know nothing, because our days upon earth are as a shadow. Shall not they teach thee, and tell thee, and utter words out of their hearts? Can the rush grow up without mire? Can the fly grow without water, whilst it is yet in its greenness, and not cut down, and withereth before any other herb? So are the paths of all that forget God." You see, what's in that, preacher? Let me tell you. The devil, realizing that there are those that would have nothing to do with the occult, he not only comes with hellish revelation, he comes with human reasoning. And what the devil tells you, my friend, is this. You want to learn the secret of life, and you want to understand the mysteries of how to get right with God. What you need to do is you need to go to the books of history. You need to go to the books of philosophy. You need to study the books of the old men of the old time, the former years, verse 10. "Shall not they teach thee, and tell thee, and utter words out of their hearts. The words of human reasoning. And it's amazing, you know, let me tell you, there's many of these old men, and their bodies in the grave and their souls in hell, and they're still spewing the poison out to our children even to this day. Charles Darwin was born in 1808. He believed and propagated the falsehood of evolution. Darwin is in eternity. He has met his maker and has met his judgment. But let me tell you, Darwinism is still being spewed out in the schools today. And the falsehoods of the old men, listen, inquire, I pray thee, of the former age, and prepare thyself to the search of their fathers. Shall not they teach thee and tell thee what are words out of their hearts? Let me tell you, when men believe they are animals, it's not long till they act like animals. And God knows man is the evidences of his evilness and the evilness of his heart. You know, animal characteristics, they say, is self-preservation, self-propagation, and self-gratification. And you look what man is doing today. And yet, just as, you know, Darwin's dead and gone. There's another man called Karl Marx. He was born in 1818. He hatched the poison of communism. A thing is right if it furthers communism, he says. Marx said, and I quote, he was asked his goal. Here it is. It is to dethrone God and destroy capitalism. It is not religion that creates man, but man that creates religion. Religion is the opiate of the people. And friend, today that atheistic core is still going about today to destroy the hearts and minds of our young people. That there's no moral absolutes anymore. When God says, thou shalt not commit adultery, God didn't really mean it, because there is no God. And you're not answerable to him anyhow. And the poison of the devil, of the men of the old days, shall not they teach thee? Yes, they teach you to sin, friend. There's a man called Sigmund Freud. He was born in 1856. He was the father of the permissive society. He says, if it feels good, do it. If it feels good, do it. And the tragedy is today, my friend, we live in the very heart of that society, which is the permissive society, where there is no such thing as sin anymore. And they tell us, listen, what you need is human reasoning. Human reasoning. The wisdom of the world. And what has the wisdom of the world done? Deified man. Humanized God. Minimized sin. Glamorized this flickerized society and hellish society in which we live. And the sad thing is this. In many places the pulpit remains silent. It's got nothing to say. Hellish revelation. You want to search and find out how a man can be right with God. My, just listen to this. The way of the devil. My, he'll give you the trip and take you up. Or human reasoning. Listen to the old men. Shall not they teach thee and tell thee and utter words out of their hearts? Yes, they will. But their hearts were poisoned by the sin of their own soul. But there's a third answer. It's the crafty one too. Job chapter 11. Job chapter 11. It says in Job chapter 11, verse number 13, if thou prepare thine heart, stretch out thine hand toward him. If iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. My friend, this is the theology of healing ritual. Healing ritual. Look at it. It says here, if thou prepare thine heart. In other words, meditation, reflection. And then it says, not only if I prepare thine heart, but stretch out thine hands toward him. In other words, that's ritual, ceremony. It says, if iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away. That's reformation. you reform yourself. Now, that all sounds good, friend, but let me tell you, it's all based on self-effort. It's all based on works and rituals. And has the devil not spewed that message out to multitudes tonight? How can a man have peace with God? How can a man be right with God? Go to church, say your prayers, be baptized, go through the rituals and ceremonies, and my everything will be all right. You'll be religious. And friend, let me tell you, at the end of the day, you walk away as empty as you were before. Formality without substance. A form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Religion without salvation. And that is one of the most crafty tools of the devil to damn souls tonight. Because multitudes are drinking at the well of religion. And they're doing self-effort. They're preparing their hearts. They're stretching out their hands. If iniquity be in thine hand, they're putting it away. And let not wickedness dwell in thy dwelling. It's themselves, all of man. Yet the word of God says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. Job knew that this was not the answer. In Job chapter 9 and verse 32, it says this, for he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any dais man betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. Dais man, the word dais man, is the word mediator. Mediator. And you see, in this desire, I want to be right with God. But he realizes I'm sinful. And he realizes that God is holy. He is so holy. I am so sinful. I need a mediator. I need a mediator. And he says here, neither is there any dais man, any mediator betwixt us, that might lay his hand upon us both. Notice that. Because this mediator that he was realizing had to be a mediator that could lay his hand on sinful man and a holy God. Could lay upon them both. And he longed for a mediator. One who was able to represent both sides. Let me explain that to you. A mediator is not someone that comes on the one side and not the other. That's not a mediator. A mediator has to be able, has to be qualified to represent both sides, has to be accepted by both to represent both sides. And the Word of God says there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. Only Jesus is qualified. There's a chasm between God and man. On the one hand, a holy God who loves man. On the other hand, sinful man who needs God. And the one who brings them together is the God-man, Christ Jesus. And that's the one you need tonight. You know what Jesus said? He said, I am the way. He said, I am the truth. He says, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You'll never be justified with God but by me. And Jesus Christ, who was God of very God, humbled himself and became man of very man. He took our place in Calvary. He bare our sins and paid the penalty of our sin. He satisfied the righteous law of God. Completely. And he died in our guilty room instead and shed his blood to take away our sin. And the Bible says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. Therefore, being justified by faith. Faith in whom? Faith in Christ alone. In His blood alone. In His mediatorial work alone. In His substitutionary death alone. In His glorious resurrection. Because He died for our sins and He rose again. The word "for" in our scriptures, in actual fact, is the translation, the original word is, He died for our sins according to the scriptures and He rose again because of our justification. That's what the word means. Because of our justification. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, He cried, "It's finished." There He did the work, completed the work. It's done. And friend, you can rest by faith in Christ alone. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Listen, through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the answer. How can a man be justified with God? In and through Christ alone. In His finished work alone. In His atoning death alone. In His cleansing blood alone. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Thank God there is a day's man. And thank God tonight there is a mediator. And there is one mediator between God and man. He is the man, Christ Jesus. Let me ask you tonight, are you resting in Him? If I were to ask you tonight, what's your hope of heaven, can you honestly say to me, "Preacher, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness"? Because you see, if you're resting in anything else, friend, you're lost. You're lost. Not going to be lost, you're lost now. You're condemned. Not going to be condemned. Condemned now. The Bible says, "He that believeth not is condemned already because he believeth not the Son of God." He that believeth in the Son hath life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It's not this church that saves you, my friend. It's Christ that saves. Oh, that you might look away. Look away from human reasoning. Look away from hellish revelations. Look away from healing rituals, which cannot heal. Look away to Christ by faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And that's the message this district needs. That's the message this country needs. That's the message that this kingdom needs. To turn them from darkness to light and from the power of sin and Satan unto God. And that's the message you need. Dear sinner, Christ is the answer. Will you come to Him? As many as received Him, to them give He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name.